Hey, this is Hal Hester. I'm the pastor of Vineyard Christian Church, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective on how God is moving in your life. Please enjoy the message.
Oh, well, I got to tell you, as an Irishman, it's one of my favorite days. I can't wait to celebrate. We're going to have some, corned beef and cabbage later. I don't know if you do that kind of thing. We do that. I might just be a wee bit Irish in my heritage. And but, one of the things is that, always when it comes to this is that everybody's Irish on, on St. Patrick's Day kind of thing. But I bet you didn't know that he actually wasn't the first Irish saint. I know, you think to yourself, boy, he's the guy that he was the apostle to the Irish and everything. But very little known is that other famous Irish saint in the Bible. If you take a look there, it's the translation from the Gaelic into the Greek, back into the English, where you lose it. And so I thought I would help you out today and introduce you to Saint, if you go ahead and put it up on the screen, Nicodemus. So I see you didn't know that there was an Irish saint, friend of Jesus, and okay, well, maybe not. But anyhow, all bad jokes aside, today we are in 1 John chapter 4, continuing our series, Inconvenient. I don't know, maybe that was inconvenient for you to have to listen to that joke, but anyhow, it has become clear over the last few chapters that, what makes Christianity so inconvenient is that Christianity is other-focused. We talk about as a church, loving God, loving people, and passing it on. That means that what I'm called to do is to put my focus, my time, my energy on other people. And here's the thing that's so amazing is that by doing so, that as I put my focus on loving others, that I find greater peace and less turmoil. I find greater communion with God and a greater sense of His presence. In contrast, when I spend all of my time seeking those things, whenever I try to turn inward and define those things, what actually typically happens is I lose my sense of peace. I lose my sense of communion with God. I don't experience the power of the Spirit, and I become increasingly internally tumultuous. And so it's counterintuitive in a way, but it's absolutely fundamentally important that we turn outward instead of inward to experience the presence of God. Today, as we look at chapter 4, this theme continues. And here in chapter 4, we find a statement by John that, for me, when the first time I read it, was very revolutionary. And I hope that as we reflect on it today about John's words of love and fear, that you will find it equally as life-giving as it was for me the first time I heard it. Let's take a look then together, shall we? 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. Please follow along in whatever translation you have. The one in your lap is always my favorite one because that's the one that you're reading. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, we read, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world, and by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And in this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. For no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he is in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. So that we have come to know and believe that the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And by this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because so also are we. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Blessed be the reading of God's holy word. Listen again to those words of the Apostle John. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. You see, as the Apostle John is speaking to the early church, and he's encouraging the body of Christ to be discerning, specifically to lean on the Holy Spirit for guidance and to test what is being said to make sure that it's in step with the Word of God and with the mainstream teaching of the church. See, here's the thing, is we got to reflect on the simple fact that as John is speaking that, he's of course speaking specifically of the Old Testament, because the New Testament had not yet been written. It is being written at this point. We're reading one of the letters that is going to make up the New Testament as that is gathered together. But as he's speaking to them in that moment, he is believing that with the Word of God, with the Old Testament that they had, and with the leading of the Holy Spirit, that they would be able to test all things and weigh them out against the love of God. Now, I got to tell you, I'm one of those people that loves technology. I'm always an early adapter. I'm a reader and a learner, and I love to do new things. I like to try new things. But here's the thing. Anytime I hear someone say there's a new teaching about, I'm automatically kind of hesitant. See, here's the thing that I know, is that John's word to the church is that the gospel has not changed. Now, the means by which we share the gospel, sometimes we have great technology and we're able to do those things. We've been able to use things like the internet. We're able to use things, projection screens and things like that. Those are all wonderful things that we didn't have in the past. But here's the thing, is that we evaluate every teaching, every prophetic word by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God and the love of God. If it does not agree with the Bible, if it doesn't agree with the manifest witness of the Holy Spirit, then it is not of God. And here's the thing, is that ultimately, even if it agrees with the manifest witness of the Spirit, even if it agrees with the Word of God, but it is done in such a way that it is hateful, that is not the Spirit of the Lord either. So then in John's day, here's the thing, there were many false prophets going about in the church. You know, sometimes we read these things and our tendency is just to read what's happening exactly in our moment, in our day, what's happening with us. And so the immediate kind of thing that we think is that all these things are new, all these things are suddenly have come on, appeared on the scene, maybe with the invention of the internet or something like that. But the truth is that John is writing to people in his day, and that the reality is that from the very early days of the church, there have always been people who have sought to lead the people of God astray. There have always been people who have tried to do everything they can to build their own kingdom rather than to build the kingdom of God. And in the midst of that, John is telling them this. He says, look, here's what you have. You have the weight of the Scriptures. You have the presence of the Holy Spirit. And what he's calling on them to do is to discern, to listen and to understand, and then to believe, to have confidence in the ability of the Holy Spirit to lead them. Now, I'm certain of this. If the Apostle John was here with us today, I'm certain that he would sound the alarm with great fervor as he did just then. There are lots of false prophets in his days. There have been plenty of false teachers and false prophets today. And with the global expansion of the internet and the printing press and radio and television, I mean, we live in an information age. If you think about it, I mean, there are so many voices out there to be heard, and everyone has virtually everyone has written a book of some kind and gotten it published. Do you know that you can go on the internet and you can just like type up all you want and make chapters and books and everything and publish it, and nobody has to read it, nobody, and you can get it for $9.99. You can get a book published. Now, it's only one copy, but you'll have your copy of your book. And if you want to spend $9.99 for everyone else in the room, you could hand them out your copy of your book, and you would be a published author. It's kind of insane the way, and you know, here's the thing, is that every day I get an email with somebody purporting to be an expert of some kind and that they have a book that I need to download. We live in a day and age when anyone with a cell phone can broadcast live over the internet and host their own video program. Now, I have found out, though, there is a little caveat. Like, if you go on Vineyard Facebook Live and you start to, you know, I've thought to myself a couple of times, it's like, I've got well over, you know, I've got a couple thousand friends on here. Why is it there's only four people watching my internet video? I don't know. I just, you know, maybe they're not that interested. But, you know, here's the thing, is that it is possible to do those things. You can host your own video program. You can start a radio station. You can collect a large audience. The power of one has never been so powerful as it is today. So that need for discernment that John is talking about is no less important today. John's test of the witness of the Spirit and the Word of God has never been more important than it is now. But here's the thing. One of the things that concerns me is that never before has the lack of discipleship been so critically low as it is in the church today. See, someone might be tempted to say that the Bible is dated or out of style, but listen, it speaks very relevantly to all of these things. Regardless of how we package it, whether we do it with Disney style or whether we do it very simply and all those things. But the truth of the message is that there have always been people who've sought to lead the people of God astray. And the answer has always been the same from the Apostle John. To weigh those things out by the witness of the Holy Spirit within, to test it against the Word of God, and then to conduct ourselves with love as we do that. Those things are not changing. Those things have not shifted. In fact, I think they're even more relevant today as we find ourselves actually in an audience is much larger than we would normally find before. Today we build bigger audiences. Today we have more access to people. And in a way, we are probably the most connected generation of all times and yet some of the loneliest. You see, this issue of discipleship isn't something that I can accomplish standing here right now. I can share with you, I can teach you things, but the reality is that discipleship is about doing life together with people so that we understand and are able to make application of the teaching that we've received. See, the reality is that when it comes to this thing of discernment, well, I can tell you four things to do in order to help you learn to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. The reality is if I just share those things with you, that there's no application. The way that application happens is that we do life together and then you learn from me as you see me working through discernment and walking with you and listening to the things that you're hearing from the Lord and the things you're reading in the Scripture, and I help you learn to discern. It requires a certain amount of critical thinking, which is also at an all-time low in the church. You know, the reality is that we are quick to spew things out, to tell people our thoughts, our opinions, and we get wrapped around the axle. We let our emotions guide our response to those things, or maybe the little bit of information that we've gathered off the internet or our favorite radio host or whatever else, and we spew those things out. But John says, test every spirit, and then have confidence in God's ability to lead you. Look there at verse 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You know, we use that passage a lot of times to, you know, to talk about the power of our prayer and things like that. And I'm not denying those things. But can I just tell you that the primary focus of when he says that is this whole issue of discerning, of knowing that the Holy Spirit within us is able to lead us and to guide us, that we would have more confidence in God's ability to lead us than Satan's ability to deceive us. See, the problem isn't that I need more information. The problem is I need to learn to discern when the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding and helping me in His Word. Now, I'm not saying it's not a good thing to learn more. Absolutely. I'm a learner. I'm a reader. I love those things. But can I just tell you that sense of confidence in God's ability to lead comes from walking with Him, not just simply having information about Him. And then I love what he goes on to say. Down in verse 18, he says this: "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love." Do you see how that begins to pull this whole chapter together? See, the confidence that he wants us to have is not in our salvation. Now, I know, you've always heard in church everything, we have confidence in our salvation, you need to know that you're saved and all those kind of things. That's really good. I mean, it is important, but can I just tell you that my primary confidence doesn't come simply in the fact that I know that I'm saved. My primary confidence comes in the love of God for me that I might be saved. My confidence doesn't come in my purity. Because there are times when I'm less than pure. There's times when I stumble and when I fall. My confidence doesn't come in the law, because here's the thing I know, is that the moment I begin to gaze upon the law and all of its perfection, that's the moment I begin to realize in all the ways that I fall short. My confidence is not in the preacher. It's not in my knowledge. That would be Gnosticism. No, our confidence is in the love of God. See, here's the thing. Part of God loving us is not just saving us, but preserving us for that final day. And do you consider the simple fact that if God was looking for a way to crush us, if God was looking for the reason to spank us, if God was looking for the way to send us to hell, He already had it in the bag. Right? I mean, our sin, we were separated from God. We were enemies of Christ. It's not like He's looking for something going, "Boy, I need to find a way to take that back. Boy, I just can't wait till they stumble and fall." It's not like He's sitting there brooding, just, "Boy, let them mess up one more time and, man, I'm going to deal with them." No, He already had that, if that's what He wanted. And yet what it tells us is this, is that He so loved us that He sent His Son while we were afar off. While we were enemies, while He supposedly had us right where He wanted us, why expend that love if His goal is to crush us, if His goal is to deny us, if His goal is to keep us living in fear, if His goal is to keep us always wondering? See, I have confidence that the love of God that was given to me when I was outside hasn't waned just because I'm on the inside. I have confidence that God is watching over me so that I will not be deceived. Confidence that He's watching over me with the gift of His Holy Spirit, John says, to teach us, to lead us into all understanding, into all righteousness, to help us to discern. You see, my confidence isn't in my position or my ability to maintain it. My confidence is this, that God loved me first. That's what His Word says. He says, you didn't come to the love of God because suddenly you discerned that you were so wise, or you were so brilliant, or you read it somewhere, or someone taught you, or whatever. He says, no, we know the love of God because God first loved us. It was his idea. He began the process. He's the one who opened the door. And so my confidence that God loved me first is why then I love God. Because I have confidence in his love for me. Somebody ought to say amen to that.
Amen.
In fact, look at your neighbor and say, have confidence in the love of God. Just tap your neighbor and say, have confidence in the love of God. So then here's the check. Here's the check. Do I love like God loves? Now, I don't mean perfectly. This is not a head check, okay? Because right about, I guarantee you, if you do the head check right now, you will point out all the ways in which you failed. Right? I mean, that's immediately the first thing that comes to our minds, that gut, you know, check that we're going to go. And we go, oh, well, you know, I did this and I did that and I didn't do this and I didn't do that. And I'm not talking about the head check. I'm talking about the heart check. Is the love of God within me? So you don't need to look at your neighbor, and you don't even need to look at your spouse. You know what's really going on inside. Yesterday, my wife brought up the idea that we would go to Hobby Lobby. And somehow I said yes. And no, I mean, yeah, I said yes. And we went, and because we were going to, you know, redo some things in one of our bedrooms. And so we, as we went, and, you know, I can, sometimes I find some nice things there as well. And I hate to admit, but anyhow. And so we were in there, and as we were looking at these different, you know, wall hangings and everything, I saw one that talked about our relationship with God. And one of the things it talked about was being quick to forgive and generous in spirit and trusting in God and having confidence in him even when times are difficult. And as I read that plaque, it wasn't to me that I was thinking to myself, boy, I want to go home and hang that on the wall. I actually had this moment where I stopped in front of that and I thought to myself, yeah, that's me. It really is me. For all of my shortcomings and everything else, for all the things that I could find fault with myself or whatever else, I knew in that moment that I really do trust God in some of the most difficult things in life. I really am quick to forgive people. In fact, sometimes I get told that I'm too easy to do that. Maybe so. But see, in that moment, I didn't have to take a picture of it and run to my wife and go, honey, do you think this is true of me? I mean, I did later on, but, you know, I mean, because I wanted the affirmation, you know, because I'm human just like you. But I didn't have to. As I stood there, I just had this quiet confidence of that reassuring of the Holy Spirit. And John says, when you love others with the love of God, you know that you know that you know you belong to him. You don't have to tap your spouse. You don't have to ask your friend. You know. And he says, when you have that confidence, and listen, and this is really important, then you have nothing to fear. Then you have nothing to fear. You do not fear deception, because you believe that the Holy Spirit is able to lead you and to guide you. You're not worried about somebody teaching the false things, not because you don't care. No, you're not worried. You're not going to let that lead you astray. When you hear it, you turn it off. You walk away. You disconnect from those things. You recognize when they are lies. Because the Holy Spirit in you doesn't want you to be deceived. He loves you. I don't fear being lost. It's not that I don't think that it matters about the things that I do. But listen, I don't wake up and every morning go, gee, I know, am I saved today? I don't know. Because I can tell you there are some moments when I don't feel really saved when I get up in the morning. Hello? Anybody here, you ever, like, this one morning you get up and you just don't feel very saved? You know, I mean, especially when that guy passes you and he's waving at you and he doesn't use all of his fingers. Well, he tells you you're number one, or, you know, and or maybe you're in a situation and somebody says something to you in passing and that cuts to the bone and you want to turn back and say something that's not of love. And then you just feel the Holy Spirit in you quicken you and go, don't do that. Don't go there. Do not fear deception. Do not fear being lost. Do not fear the end times. See, here the thing is, I have confidence that he is going to preserve me to the very end, whether that very end is today, in the middle of the day, in the middle of my doing things, or whether I will be there on that final day when the Lord comes and a trumpet shout and all those guys. I don't know. I don't fear the end times because I'm confident of the love that God has for me. I do not fear the devil. See, I know he's real. And I know he's not shooting blanks. Have you figured that part out yet? Because if you haven't, I want to tell you, he's not shooting blanks. He takes, there's real shots fired. He really hurts people, but I do not fear him. Do not fear that you're going to miss out, that you're going to miss the things that God has for you. Can I just tell you that as long as you're breathing, as long as you belong to him, you're not going to miss out. You're not going to miss God's calling. Not unless you just don't want to. You could say no. But I will tell you that his calling is clear and his love for you is evident. Do not fear that you're not good enough. Can I just tell you in all honesty and out of my great love for you, you're not. You're not good enough. There is nothing you can do, no sacrifice you can pay, no wage you can pay, no nothing you can give, no way you can earn it. There's no way that you are good enough. So just leave that behind in the dust. Quit lying to yourself that you have to be good enough. You can't. That's why Jesus Christ paid the price, because he knew you weren't good enough. Do not fear that you're not good enough. Do not fear that you don't know enough. Because if you're in relationship with him, you knew enough. It doesn't mean that it's not good to learn. It doesn't mean that there aren't good things to study and to understand and to grow in our knowledge and our understanding of how we relate to God and all the great theology. I love all those things, but do not fear that you do not know enough. But have confidence in the love of God. Trust the manifest witness of the Holy Spirit in your life and his ability to lead you in the Word of God, to discern what is right from wrong, and to lead you in the way of righteousness. Who's your confidence in? Can I just tell you, if your confidence is in yourself, you will be continually disappointed. If your confidence is in this church or in this association of churches or being in the right church or something like that, can I just tell you that I that is hopeless. Our confidence is in the love of God, because he who loved you enough to give you his very own son while you were yet enemies of the cross, enemies of Christ, away from him. He had every reason to crush you. That God set aside all those things and gave his son to be the propitiation for your sins, to close the gap, to make a way for you to be in relationship with him. And so the only real question that I need to ask, I just circle right back around and ask myself, do I love God? Do I love my brother in Christ with the love of God? And if those things are present, then I can have confidence. I can have confidence. In other words, I can trust God to lead me and to guide me. See, here's the other things. When it comes to discernment and all that kind of stuff, you can teach people discernment. But if you don't have confidence in the love of God, if you don't see that love manifest in your life, then that's where you need to ask the question. See, and all the other things and all the knowledge base and all that other kind of stuff. Listen, all those things can be taught. But when you're thinking about the big question of life, when you're evaluating your walk with Christ, the test that Jesus gave to the world, the test that he gives to us, is that our love for one another. He says, listen, if you claim to love me, but you don't love the people that you see that are created in my image, whom I love, then the love of Christ isn't in you. If you don't love your brother, then we have a problem. But listen, here's my favorite part of this. It's a very solvable problem. You see, here's the thing. When people tell me all the time, well, I'm not sure that I love God. I'm not sure how I feel about those things. And can I just tell you that, listen, when you come to Christ and his Spirit fills you, when the love of God invades your heart, it will give you the love for your brother. That's what he promises he will do. He's not a liar. See, when I have people that have been in church for a long time, they go, I'm not sure how if I love my brother or not. Then my real question is do you know the love of God? But I don't mean that in a judgmental way. I mean that in the kindest way possible. Because that's the most fixable thing of all. He promises that if you will love him, that he will give you love for your brother. It's the most fixable thing there is. See, I may not be able to fix everything else in your life, but that is fixable. And then I promise you this, that now your life, as soon as you do that, is going to become very inconvenient. You see, when the love of Christ comes into your heart and your life and you begin to love others, it will turn your life upside down. It will change your schedule. And here's my promise. You will love every inconvenient moment of it if you will trust him. If you will allow him to love through you. And nothing could be more inconvenient. Can I tell you honestly, there's nothing more inconvenient than having sat in a pew for a long, long time and listened to lessons and tried to do everything in your own strength and the love of God not pervade your heart and to watch other people experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit and to say, why don't I have that? I can't think of anything more inconvenient than that. What do you risk? You risk that if you let the love of God in your heart, he will turn your life absolutely upside down, fill you with his Spirit, empower you, and give you a peace in the midst of circumstances that you cannot understand. Yeah, I guess you have a whole lot to lose. That's why we call it inconvenient. Let's stand together, shall we? You know, my greatest hope for you today is that God would break off fear from your life. Whatever's holding you back. It could be the fear of failure. It could be the fear of trial. It could be the fear of losing control. The fear of being taken advantage of. Fear that you will not have enough time, enough money, enough. If you don't know what that thing is, it's easy to identify. I hear it in the language of people all the time. I'm afraid that. And you fill in the blank. I'm afraid that I won't be able to. I'm afraid that I I'm afraid that our society is changing. I'm afraid that things are happening. I'm afraid that I won't be able to. I'm afraid that this is going to happen. And can I tell you that one of the greatest fears that is gripping the lives of so many is the fear of loneliness. The fear of being alone in a crowd. So I just want to invite you to do something today. I want to invite you to just take a posture of receiving, just to open up your hands like this morning. You don't have to, but I'm inviting you to. Maybe for you, you might want to close your eyes. Others of you would prefer to keep your eyes open. I know trust does not always come easy. So just put yourself in that posture of reception. And then I want you just to be still for a moment and ask the Lord to show you what is keeping you from having full confidence in God's love right now. And then whatever comes to mind, right then and there, right now, that you would just open-handedly, you just surrender that to the Lord. Let the Lord take it from you. Let His Spirit fill you right now. Just Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would fall afresh on everyone here right now. Just come as though they were standing under a waterfall of your presence, a waterfall of your love. You're just cascading over everyone here in this moment. Won't you come, Holy Spirit of God, and just reveal your great love for the body of Christ. Reveal your great love for each and every individual. Just come, Holy Spirit. More of your presence. More of your love. More of your power. I just pray for a fresh revelation of the love of God to fall on you right here and now. Just let it come. Just let it come and just soak it in. And I just want to say to you this right now, just, you know, if you're in that place where fear is continuing to grip your heart, or you feel, confused or whatever else, that we've got some prayer team ministry people available, or maybe you turn to the person next to you and just simply pray with somebody and say, you know, I just am not getting free right now. Maybe I just need some prayer. I need someone to stand with me. I need someone to be my confidence in this moment. So we do. We just stand with you. Holy Spirit of God, come.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. And if you did, there's two things I'd love to ask of you. Number one, would you subscribe to our show? That way, the most recent podcast will be in your feed, ready for you when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you and you'd like to help us continue to reach others, you can click on the link in the description to give now.